Welcome to This Week in Lotus. The weekly roundtable discussion of all things social, collaboration, technology and community. Here's your host, Stuart McIntyre.
This Week in Lotus, episode 96, recorded on Wednesday, 4th of April 2012. Breaking out of the bubble. Matt Newman joined Darren and I to review Oslog 2012 and to discuss how we can reach those Lotus and ICS advocates and users that are not part of the community today. All that and more on This Week in Lotus. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this and other tech-related podcasts at techpodcast.com. Hello, welcome to episode 96 of This Week in Lotus. I'm Stuart McIntyre and once again joined by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Darren Duke. Hello, Darren.
Who is very sad today.
Why are you very sad?
I ate my last Girl Scout cookie today.
Oh, how cute. Sorry. Were they for Mr. Brooks this time?
No. I get pestered by all my clients. It's basically taxation on the naive. Well, no, that's the lottery. This is basically taxation on the people that like cookies.
I have this sort of vision, mainly from Despicable Me, I have to say, of these cute little girls running around selling cookies. But I've got a feeling actually it's their parents that end up doing all the selling, is that right?
It is. And the bigger the parent, the more you buy off them. It is. It's literally like the mafia. It's like protection. Buy my cookies and I won't burn your house down. But having said that, if I thought about it, I would have left the last one and I would have edited live on Twill so you could hear the crunching.
Oh, it's just made us jealous and envious. I'm glad you didn't. Well, we've had a tricky couple of weeks of Twills. Last week was the one that I forgot. The one before was the one that you forgot or didn't, as the case may be.
Almost the one Matt forgot.
But it was an interesting conversation with Oslog. It was great to have Matt and the team on live from Oslog. You did a great job of holding the fort.
Yes, it was excellent.
Excellent. And we are very thankful to Sean Cull last week as well for doing some really good interviews from BLUG. So we're back. And because the quality of the audio from Oslog was a little bit tricky last week, we are delighted to have back on Matt Newman. Hi there, Matt.
G'day, boys. Thank you very much for having us back on again. And we do apologise for the quality of the audio, but it was a little bit beyond our control last week.
I can imagine. We tried to do live Twills at both Lotus 3 and UK Lug, and it's always hard to get the audio sorted in a room that big. So you did a great job just setting it up and getting it going. So thanks for doing that for us.
Always my pleasure, mate.
So tell us who you work for and what you do.
My name's Matt Newman. I'm the Director of Education for IBM Premier Business Partner, ISW. This year, ISW is well known, of course, for plugins like Wildfire, the social plugin for your Lotus Notes client, more recently for the fantastic Kudos Badges addition to IBM Connections, which by using gamification can drive your user adoption of connections within your environment. This year we've also picked up a couple of new awards, so we are once again in Australia, or Australia and New Zealand, the IBM Collaboration Solutions Business Partner of the Year. And this year, for the first time, we're also the IBM WebSphere Australia and New Zealand Partner of the Year. So ISW are really kicking some goals in the last couple of years, doing really well. And if you need anything to do with IBM, IBM Connections, IBM Hardware, IBM Software, come and talk to the fantastic guys in Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney or Hobart from ISW.
You should be in marketing, Matt. Fantastic job. ISW are doing some great work at the moment with Kudos Badges and all the other stuff you do. So it's fantastic to have you back on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I'm guessing you've had a really lazy week, just kind of sat around on the sofa not doing very much, right?
Yes, you know me, mate. I'm always just lying around doing nothing. That's how I roll.
So anything but, I'm sure. So how did Oslo go? I imagine it was a ton of work, but very rewarding at the same time.
Oh, of course it was. At the end, we had just over 324 participants actually turn up. People from literally all over the world. I think just from memory, what was it, 14 Kiwis, 7 Yanks, half a dozen Poms, German, a couple of Norse, Dane. One of the really interesting stories was we actually had someone from the University of Norway who was down here on holiday, saw a couple of tweets about Auslug and registered the day before and poked his head in and came along. So, Tony, if you're still out there on holiday, hi there again, mate.
That's just fantastic that there's somebody who would just drop in like that, you know, 12,000 miles away from home or whatever he was, and join in the lug fun. That's great.
What would Philippa say if you did that, Stu?
What, while I'm on holiday over in the States? I yeah. think she would go berserk, I have no doubt. I was thinking about that last week when I was listening to the recording from Auslug, thinking, yeah, what must his family have thought when he suddenly went off for 2 days and went to a lug? So Matt, this is the second time you've done Auslug. Was it easier or harder second time around?
Organisationally, it was a little bit easier because I think we mentioned, you know, a few calls ago, when you're doing the first one, you've got all your collateral to get in place. I mean, the friendships that the crew have got now have made it a lot easier. There's a lot of trust between all of the guys. We understand what all of our strengths and weaknesses are. Being able to fall back again on the experience of people like Warren, Paul, Theo Hesselmans, Chris Miller. Chris was a really good hand this year. Everything really went very well with the planning right up until, you know, the last minute, and we found out exactly what it was like to deal with a machine that is, you know, a huge convention center. And right. that was a little bit interesting and caused us a few headaches. You know, in the week leading up, we sort of got a few new quotes that we weren't expecting, and that's when we literally had to look at the budget again and realise that, you know, given what we were being asked to pay the venue, we'd run out of money. So we had to close registrations. Thankfully, we had a couple of extra sponsors come on board right at the very end, which was brilliant. It was really, really good. From a community perspective, couple of new sponsors jumped on board. We got some extra money. We were able to open registrations again and, you know, go well and truly over the 300 mark, which was excellent.
And I think you did a good job of keeping that quiet, because I can't recall ever hearing an official, okay, the registration's closed. And I know it went a bit silent and it came back. So was that when you were kind of deciding, you know what, we don't want to tell people not to register, we can kind of waitlist them, or did you actually take the page down?
No, we didn't take the page down. We have been constantly updating people in the last few weeks, and we really weren't messing about. I mean, everyone who runs a lug has got a budget that they've got to deal with, and we were getting very, very close to the budget. In fact, when we tweeted out and actually stopped registrations, actually, you know, just hid the registration links and that sort of thing, we had hit our limit. We were literally $24 within budget.
Oh, wow. Goodness me.
Nothing like that. I see a couple of time. Starbucks.
Yeah. Well, you know, you try and get as many people in as you can, and the idea of running a free event is, of course, to try and involve as many people as you possibly can. And I think this is one of the huge discussions that we've actually had once people found out, you know, what, you actually really did run out of money. Why don't you just start charging people to come? And quite a few of the attendees have actually come up with that idea. It's, you know, I would have been happy to pay a couple of $100 to come along to an event like this because it's been so valuable. But from our point of view, or from my point of view personally, and this is one of the driving things I think, behind running a free lug. If you're providing all of this exceptional content and people know that it's on, they can hound their boss and, you know, beg, scream, and demand to go. And when the boss says, well, how much is it going to cost? And the employee comes back and says, well, it's free. There's not a lot the boss can do to stop them from going.
Or failing that, people can just take holiday and, you know, pay for the travel themselves. But it's not a massive outlay to attend if they can't get their company to pay for it.
Yeah, and there were quite a few stories like that floating around this year where a couple of attendees, you know, you're having a chat to people, a couple of attendees couldn't get approval from their office to attend, and they'd been to Sydney last year and they decided that it was just something that they could not afford to miss for their own professional development. So they took annual leave and they paid a couple of $100 to jump on a plane, come down to Melbourne, pay for a night's accommodation and get 2 days worth of some exceptionally good free training, which is really what it's all about.
And I think it's chicken and the egg. I think it's easier to attract people when it's basically $0 down. But I also think, you know, sometimes you get to the point where you invest what you pay. And I think if it's a $0 conference, it's particularly easy for me to cancel at the last minute. And that's what's kind of always struck me with these things. And I know a couple of lugs have done some interesting things. I know MW Lug say, you know, give $20, $25 to charity or whatever. You know, I've always thought there's some middle ground. You know, maybe $50 or $75 gives you enough skin in the game when you register that, okay, I'm going to lose $75 if I don't go, or let me go. Whereas zero allows me at any point to say, you know what, I just don't have time. And I think there's some psychology around that. And I'm not a psychologist. I'm got many skills, but that's not one of them. But I think there's definitely something to be said about the difference between a $0 conference, a $75 conference, and a $2,500 conference. And I think there would be some interesting outcomes if you were to try each of them and see what was to happen.
And on that, Matt, did you get anybody drop out at the last minute? I mean, did you have a problem with people not attending?
Yeah, look, we actually took 350 registrations. So there were 350 people that registered for the event. We had, you know, what did we start with? We started with 274 people who were on the list who had originally registered for Sydney. And for those people, we automatically put them on the wait list for Auslug 2012. Hammered them with email, connected with them on social, and a lot of those people from the Sydney conference, you know, either signed up or cancelled for this event. So we made it nice and easy for them. At the top of all the email messages, there were links, you know, yes, I'm coming to Auslug, no, I'm not. It was actually very interesting when we had a fairly high-profile attendee a few weeks ago forward that email, and you could see there, I couldn't really work out what was going on because it was flashing up and down all day that this particular gentleman, he's, I'm coming, I'm not, I'm coming, I'm not, I'm coming, I'm not. And finally I jumped on the phone to him and said, you know, what's going on here? You seem to be changing your mind like a yo-yo. And then he's realized, oh, hell, I think I've actually forwarded this email onto a few people. So he sent a follow-up email and we ended up getting about 30 new registrations within the next hour, which was quite good.
Fantastic. So, and there were some tweets about it being the biggest lug in the world. Is that right?
Yeah, one of the sponsors, Paul Graham, who's been around quite a few lugs all over the place, so from one of our fantastic sponsors, Crossware. So a lot of people in the Yellowverse would have caught, of course, no Crossware mail signature. Yeah. Paul said, I don't think I've heard of a lug anywhere in the world that's had more than 300 people attend. So we did a quick ring around and, yeah, basically jumped on the bandwagon. I mean, it's not really about a competition. Who's the biggest? Who's the best? Who's got the most attendees? It's just a fun, interesting stat that, you know, as Darren mentioned last year, we kicked this thing off less than 6 months ago with our first one. The intention was always to bring it in line with Lotusphere, to try and bring that Lotusphere experience and all of the highlights of Lotusphere to an Australia, New Zealand audience as soon as we possibly could following the Lotusphere conference. Last year, I just couldn't hold on for another 12 months. So that's why the first one was in August. And once we got the team together, it was pretty easy to get up and running. It was actually so successful down here. IBM were heavily involved last year in Sydney. So we had the IBM labs. I don't know if any other lug has actually had IBM involved to that extent. So last year we actually had a dedicated room. IBM came in, set up a whole heap of kit. Literally, if you wanted a live demonstration of anything out of the IBM portfolio, and I mean absolutely anything, there were server racks there, there were monitors all over the place, there were VMs flying from here to eternity.
Sounds like my office.
Yeah, mate, a little bit like that. So when they had a look at how successful it was, they decided, well, you know, if you're going to do it again after Lotusphere this year, we're not going to run the collective intelligence events, which is what they've been doing after Lotusphere the last couple of years. So rather than IBM doing a small Lotusphere comes to you / collective intelligence in Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney, Adelaide, Perth, as they've done in the last few years, they got right behind Auslug again, signed on as platinum sponsor straight away, jumped in with the labs and even gave us one of their people to, you know, assist and provide some advice along the way with organisations. So it was fantastic.
Excellent. It's fantastic that IBM provides such support. And that was something we mentioned last week, Darren, on the segment we recorded for Twill last week, is that IBM, whilst it's not running these events anymore, or has kind of passed over a lot of the role of running events to the user community, it's obviously still providing a heck of a lot of support and also funding for these events.
Yeah, and again, I want to echo what I said last week, which is just yesterday, not this morning, is kudos to IBM. But they don't have to do that.
Yeah.
It's not in their mandate, but I think it's a symbiotic relationship. We do well when they do well, and they do well when we do well. And I think that the lugs, as they stand today, maybe would not exist in their format was it not for IBM's backing and saying, yes, you know what, these guys are good, we know what we're doing, we trust them. And, you know, you routinely see 200, 250 people north at every one of these events. So the guys running it all know what they're doing. And, you know, it's good to see IBM acknowledging that and saying, you know what, we will help fund it, we will sponsor it, we will get you the resources you need to get the word out. And, you know, hopefully we'll see a few more lugs be, maybe, to quote a phrase, be a victim of too much success, a bit like maybe Auslug was, where you've got so many people trying to get in and you're in outer space. I think that's a good sign. And it also means Auslug 2013, register early.
Absolutely, mate. I cannot fault at all the effort that IBM have gone to, and I've really got to point the finger at Ed Brill here really hard. Ed has been a fantastic supporter of the entire concept for, well, nearly 2 years when we first started floating it. Just after Lotusphere, I went to Ed and I told him, you know, mate, I'd really like Ted Stanton to come over here and do something, do a couple of sessions on IBM social. And I'd really, really love to have one of the open social guys come out so that we can expose a local audience to things like the open social sessions that Andrew Davis and Ryan Baxter did at Lotusphere. And that's exactly what Ed delivered. But, you know, Andrew Davis came down and he delivered his and Ryan's open social sessions. The other side of that as well, I mean, when you have a look at the Lotusphere comes to you / collective intelligence events that have been run for the last couple of years, a lot of people were a little bit frustrated with the lack of technical content. So IBM were getting a lot of decision makers going along to these events and not necessarily getting the technical guys coming along, whether you're a developer or administrator or power user or whatever it happens to be. But often it's essential that it's not just the manager who needs to hear the IBM story. It's the technical people that need to hear that IBM story as well. So by using the LUG format, we were able to get, you know, Ted, Ed, Stuart Duguid, who's the local Ron, to do a few demos for our keynote, which went off really, really well. You could see the audience that was there for the opening session. There are a lot of business people there. And because we'd worked so closely with IBM, that they essentially picked and selected the keynote sessions, the strategy sessions, the go sessions, if you like, from Lotusphere, selected which ones they wanted to do, picked the local IBMs, and in the case of Ed and Ted, the international IBMers that they wanted to present those sessions. And essentially over the 2 days, in nearly every slot, IBM either had, you know, their strategy in action sessions or their go sessions, or they were involved in the keynote. So it was really good that we were able to offer not just a technical track, which is one of the big aims of a user group. We were also able to offer a very solid business track, so that if your organization, if you're not necessarily a C-level, because there aren't really that many organizations in Australia that have, you know, C-level positions, but if you're a decision maker and you want to know what the direction that your IT should be taking, then there was a lot of content that you could go to at Auslug. So essentially we had an entire track dedicated to social / business / strategy / keynote, if you like.
And I think that's the way it's going to go. Stuart, you do the same thing with Social Connections, right?
Yeah, just the same. And these events aren't easy to pull together, but you know, with IBM support and support of people around the community, you know, you can put together an amazing event that IBM couldn't do themselves. I think that's part of the reason why they value them so much, is that you know, IBM events are, by their very nature, they have to be IBM centric, you know, because it's IBM's badge on the tin, and it's their money that goes towards it. So they kind of are hamstrung by that. And you know, that's not to say the events aren't good, but yeah, they're IBM events. Whereas I think the community events, you can get a very different feel to them because you have people coming from very different organizations to run them. And I know, Matt, you've got an enormous team that comes together to help you with Auslug. You know, you get a flow from each of them. You get something a bit different going on because you get some sort of local influence. You know, I know you went to an Aussie Rules game, did you, this time around? Yeah, that's the kind of thing that you can't do if you have an IBM badge on the tin, because it's just so much more difficult to get those kind of things through.
Yeah, and a couple of the speakers that we had along, I mean, obviously we were thrilled to bits when Michael Sampson put up his hand and said, look, boys, I can come across. Would you like me to do a session? And I've just sat there on the other end of the phone and said, mate, if you were Marilyn Monroe, I wouldn't kick you out of bed, not a problem at all. Come along. You know, Bob Halliwell was also down here as well. So, I mean, he was at Social Connects last year, correct, Stu?
Yes, that's right.
Yep, so when I saw the first 4 minutes of Bob's session on YouTube, I thought, fantastic, you know, Bob's pulled up his hand. And then we had a very interesting guy, Walter Adamson, also put up his hand from a company in Sydney, Melbourne, I go to, who isn't necessarily an IBM fanboy in any way, shape or form. He's just a guy who's very, very interested in social, very similar to Michael Sampson, but more from an analytics point of view. He got in contact with us and said, you know, I'd like to have a session. And, you know, I had actually heard of him, asked him to tell me what he'd like to speak about. He then reeled off a 5-minute abstract off the top of his head. And I thought, you know, we've got to have this guy speak, yeah, because he was just really knew his stuff. Going back through the evaluations, which are starting to roll in now, it looks like the sessions, especially from those three guys who aren't, you know, traditional yellow bubble speakers, that those sessions have gone off really, really well with our audience, both from a business perspective and from a technical perspective, because you've got the administrators now looking at how they're going to implement this new IBM technology, which is available to us. And you've got the developers thinking about how they're going to build their applications around the technology to add value to their users.
And that segues us really nicely, Matt, into the bubble. And something that we're all challenged with, I think, is that it's very easy to kind of see the community that we're working as that bubble, as the 360-odd bloggers on Planet Lotus and maybe the 1,000 readers of those blogs on a regular basis. And yet there is such a bigger community out there, isn't there? I mean, I don't know what your numbers would be for Auslug in terms of those people that we would think of as being, you know, members of the bubble versus people from outside. But it's clear there's a massive world out there that aren't necessarily being reached by our blogs or by some of the online activities. And is that part of the role for Lugs, is to start to reach some of those people, not just speakers, but also attendees that come from outside of the bubble that we work in?
Mate, you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. That right there is my personal motivation for getting this event up off the ground. Number one, I'm sick of hearing the notes is dead mantra. It's just get ready for a beep. It's the biggest load of crap that's going around. Number two, the number of times that you run into someone who's subjected to that garbage, and, you know, whatever the environment is that you're thrown together, and they suddenly start talking about what they do and you talk about what you do, and, oh, okay, so you work with Domino. I've never heard of you. Oh, yeah, well, I didn't really know, you know, the bubble existed. If you have a look at what's happened with Auslug this year, we had 270 people register for the first conference, you know, then some people dropped on and off and that sort of thing. This time, our database, so ISW, here we go, plug ISW, Adam Brown, IBM champion, fantastic connections guy, kudos badges, etc., etc. ISW have been really good in putting up a connections infrastructure for Auslug that's available to the community. So IBM have given us their full blessing and said, go for your life. We now just over 500, if I have a look, no, I've shut down notes. I think we were just over 550 members of the Auslug community as of about this afternoon. That's my motivation for working with this lug, for putting it together, to let people out there know you're not alone. There's someone who you can talk to. The number of times that you go to an event and you talk to people and they don't even know that Planet Lotus exists, and it's a fantastic resource by itself, just with the tips and tricks that you can actually pick up. People aren't aware of it. So we've got to get out there. We've got to let people that are outside the bubble know that the bubble actually exists. Then when someone from Microsoft comes knocking on the door and starts yelling and screaming, notes is dead, notes is dead, and that person being subjected to that hasn't heard anything to the contrary, well, they're going to believe the mantra. But when you go along to an event and you've got a room full of rowdy Australians yelling and screaming about how good the beer was and how good the technical content is of a conference, there's no way they're going to believe any of that rubbish.
And it, but it's again, it goes back to chicken and the egg. You know, Microsoft put an awful lot of money into the port to send out sales teams. And, you know, I get the distinct feeling that IBM don't do that, not just in my part of the world, but in pretty much any part of the world. And I, you know, it's kind of like we're running an insurgency. And I think we can only be so successful without something else propelling that. And I kind of get, I understand why IBM doesn't necessarily want to promote Planet Lotus, because there's some bad stuff out there too, and yours truly is responsible for some of it. But that doesn't stop the fact it is a pretty good resource if you don't know about it. I'm like you, Matt. We do conferences and speak in sessions all the time, and proofs of technology and proofs of concept. And every time, 90% of the people in the room have never heard of Planet Lotus. And that still kind of shocks me, given how quick you could find something. But I think people still go to NotesNet. And I think it's NotesNet, NotesNet, NotesNet. If it's not on NotesNet, it's not anywhere. And it actually has just occurred to me that someone might want to put on NotesNet, hey, have you seen Planet Lotus?
Hey, wouldn't it be great if, you know, Yancey could buy a little sponsorship badge on the side of NotesNet there somewhere?
But you're right, Darren. It's tricky, isn't it? Because, you know, Planet Lotus, and again, I hold up my hand as well. You know, some of my posts aren't wholly positive. And it's hard that Planet Lotus is such a great thing for the community, but also can be seen as slightly negative. And it's how do you balance those two things out of saying, you know, this is reality, in effect. You know, sometimes we post really positive stuff. Sometimes we post things that aren't quite so positive. Sometimes it's, you know, it's very constructive feedback. And you know, is that somewhere that you bring new people that, you know, that haven't necessarily been part of the community before? Whereas Lugs, I guess, because of their nature, you know, being two or three day events, quite carefully managed. Whilst I'm sure Matt doesn't say to any of his speakers, you know, be 100% positive in all your sessions. In fact, that's the benefit of having some of these speakers from outside IBM, is they can be, you know, more critical at times. But, you know, overall, that's a very positive thing with very little negative connotations to the lug. So maybe that is the best place to bring people in for the first time. And then at the lug, you then tell them about Planet Lotus, you tell them about some of the online communities and say, you know, be aware, some of the stuff on there is critical, but overall, it's a fantastic thing to be part of.
Well, I think you've also got to be, you've got to be prepared to take the good with the bad. If someone has a bad experience, then I always see that as a learning opportunity that maybe you can use to help educate that person. So while they're off having a rant about how bad their experience was with a particular feature, then maybe you can just step in from the side and say, hey, did you think about this?
That's something you're very good at, Matt. I've seen you many times come in and say, you know, where's the facts on this? You know, it's all very well just to say, you know, it's horrid, you know, it's difficult, it doesn't work or whatever. But actually, when you get down to the facts and you know, you can then offer solutions to those, you know, suddenly you can turn the bad into something very good.
And that's not hard to do, and thanks for that, mate. It really isn't difficult if you know what's going on to be able to provide some advice and assistance. And quite often when you see some of the negative stuff that's maybe floating around in the bubble, a lot of it's got to do with a couple of frustrations or maybe even, dare I say it, a bug in the product. However, if you've got access to the IBM machine, you go in, you raise an SPR, and the boys at IBM are normally pretty good at getting back to you and letting you know whether or not something's going to work. I mean, me personally, 17 years, I think there's been once when I've gone into IBM and said, you know, this is just absolutely wrong, it's busted. And I think it was all the way back in Note 6, I was trying to write some script that deleted a document inside a mail file, and if the document happened to be open in a preview pane at the time that you ran the delete script, didn't matter what you couldn't error trap it, you couldn't stop it, you couldn't call it. It just failed and gave you, you know, horrible errors all over the screen. And that was a horrible user experience. And go to IBM and tell them it's a problem. And, you know, the response I think that I got at that time was something along the lines of, well, you shouldn't be trying to delete a document using some code from outside our standard code. You know, that's about the only time I've ever been frustrated with them, but I'm sure that there are other people who get into a similar situation where they're trying to do something interesting outside the norm with a piece of IBM technology and it doesn't quite work the way they expect. And that's the sort of thing that ends up on Planet Lotus every now and then.
And Darren, you mentioned Notes.net, and we've obviously got other online communities as well. You know, there's groups on Facebook, there's LinkedIn groups, there's Connections communities, there's Greenhouse, Twitter, obviously. Is that a part of the problem these days? Is there's so many different online communities, and it's really hard to kind of tie them all together so that if you do meet somebody who's, you know, who's not part of that community, it's really hard to say this is where you should get involved.
There is some fragmentation to a degree. I remember, you know, years ago when, you know, R5, R6 came out, if it wasn't on Notes.net, it was nowhere ever on the web.
Yeah.
And that's where you went. And I think the prevalence of blogs was the first line of fragmentation, but Yancey did a very good job of collating all them back in and corralling them. And that was probably, what, 3 or 4 years ago now, maybe 5 years ago, Yancey built Planet Lotus. And now we've started to see the second wave of fragmentation, Stack Overflow. And I understand where the Stack Overflow people are coming from. It's to prove to the greater development community, not the X-Pages and Domino guys, that there are people doing this. And I think that has value. But I also think it kind of maybe a bit detracts from where you have always been, which is Notes.net, Lotus LDD, whatever it's called this week. And I just think it becomes more and more difficult to find the answer you're looking for because we've got all of these different places. And it's almost like we need a Planet Lotus 2, which goes and collates not just the blogs, but maybe the Stack Overflow feeds and that kind of stuff. And I know Chris Miller has his Super Search, and that kind of goes somewhere to alleviating that. But it just gets more and more difficult. And I'm not sure that's a bad thing. That might be a sign that the platform is growing more than anything else. But it is historically, Domino development has always been difficult to learn. X-Pages, despite the hype, doesn't make that any different. And I think spreading out the knowledge needs, you know, there needs to be something looked at and said, okay, how can we, what's the word I'm looking for? How can we collate all of this together in some meaningful way?
And do a nice big consolidation and have everything happening in one place.
Well, I don't know about consolidating it, but it would be good to have a bit like, again, Planet Lotus is a good way because it's basically a feed collator and you go in and you find what you want. And basically, you know, it indexes the first, you know, 500 characters of a blog post. So, you know, most bloggers are going to give an abstract in the first couple of lines about what the blog post is about. So you can generally find what you're looking for, even though you wouldn't find that very easily in Google. And I just think there needs to be something like that. And I know at Lotusphere there was some talk about, you know, move all your content in the connections on an IBM server. And I think that's the exact wrong way to do it. Because I think if you're a blogger, you're a bit of a anti-disestablishmentarianism kind of person anyway. and trying to corral us that way, I think, just leads to a backlash. Absolutely. Where no one does anything.
And I think that's kind of anti-social, using the, you know, social business kind of term. Is actually one of the benefits of social is that different tools for different things, you know, horses for courses kind of thing. Is that some people get Twitter, others don't. You know, some people get Facebook, others don't. And therefore, you go to the tool that works best for you. And actually, there's real strength in having these different kind of communities out there. I think, as you say, there needs to be some kind of aggregation and consolidation. But also, you know, John Head a few years ago put together a set of slides that went through, you know, OpenNTF and the forums and whatever, and provided kind of an intro to new people to show them what's out there around the Lotus community. And I kind of think maybe we need to revive that and have some kind of of easy kind of sheet that we can just hand to people and say, that's got everything on it. You know, that those are the main places you need to go to get involved. And a question for you, Matt, do you think the community is still very Notes and Domino centric, or do you think products like Connections and Quicker are becoming, a bigger part of the community, and there's more events and sessions and so on going on around some of those newer products?
Look, overwhelmingly, the content at Auslug was Notes and Domino. This part of the world is still predominantly and very strongly and passionately a Notes and Domino environment. And, you know, those are comments that have even been reinforced by some of the IBMers that were along at the conference. But having said that, there is now a large push to get into technologies like Connections. You know, people have been out there, they've seen Yammers and Jives and social texts and, you know, even the nasty SharePoint word. And then they've had a look at IBM Connections and, you know, especially the last few days with Auslug, with the amount of Connections content that we actually had involved, people are really starting to get interested in Connections. Actually, I don't think Adam has stopped from demo mode. What are we now? Wednesday evening. I think he's been in demo mode since Monday morning with people interested in doing Connections demos. But one of the things about community that I think is really interesting, guys, is when we connect, as in me as one of the Auslug members trying to connect with members of the community, you can fall back on, you know, good old email when you have to. But it's interesting when we reach out, we're reaching out through our LinkedIn group, reaching out through our Facebook page, we're reaching out through Twitter, we're reaching out through LinkedIn. And now that we've got our Connections community up and running, it's very interesting to see where we get the responses from different people about different topics. And you start to realize that certain people are obviously using specific technologies, and that's where they actually live. So if we want to reach out to everyone, we've literally got to jump in and post something on LinkedIn and post something on Facebook and throw up a couple of tweets and, you know, jump all the way around the place to actually let people know what's going on. And maybe that's the one criticism that I do have of social, where it might be horses for courses and different people use different tools for different things. Some people actually live in a certain social set, a certain social set of technologies. So if you want to be involved with that group of people, you've got to be involved in that too, which can make it difficult, which means you've got to operate across a whole heap of social technology.
And we're seeing that around the Social Connections event, as I'm sure you are at Auslug, is that it's no longer good enough just to be, you know, just to have your own website. You've got to be engaged on LinkedIn. You've got to be engaged with a Facebook group. You've got to be engaged with a Twitter ID. And actually, it's a big part of organising these events is the social outreach. But at the same time, that also saves you a lot in terms of marketing some of the events. So, you know, there are some plus points as well, but it's a challenge to do that.
You didn't mention the marketing word, did you, Stuart?
I did. Sorry, Matt.
Marketing? What's that all about? One of the things I will say, we within the Auslug environment have only ever used social media, blog posts, etc., to reach out and tell people about our event. A couple of email blasts to the people who we're already connected with, and then we jump into the social tools. You know, there hasn't been any, well, not that we could afford it, but there hasn't been any radio, there hasn't been any television, there hasn't been any press coverage. Certainly we couldn't afford to do any of that. It purely has been a social movement that's driven us up to, you know, what is now over 550 members of our Connections community.
And I think let's not get lost that, you know, the employee at the end of this line has to have the wherewithal and the gumption and desire to go find this information. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, kind of stuff. So I think there's also the impetus, not just for us, to show them that there is something out there, but I think there's also an impetus of people to find it.
Absolutely.
And I'm continuously amazed. You know, I'm working with a very big client in the States right now, and really intelligent people. And yet, it's amazing how few of them that work with technologies are aware of some of the community resources. So, I think we've got a big job to do as community folks and IBM champions and everybody else who's involved in this, in terms of, you know, continuing to push and continuing to communicate with those folks outside of the people involved right now.
So it's all about breaking out of the bubble. I mean, there's obviously a core within what we would refer to as the community, the bloggers on Planet Lotus. And then outside of that, there are the people who read the blogs. And then outside of that, there are the people who actually use the technology. I would love to be able to find a way to reach in through every Lotus Notes ID everywhere on the planet and have a pop-up one day that just popped up and said, hey, did you know that there is a fantastic learning resource called mattnewman.com?
I keep hoping on that one, I think. And Matt, just to wrap up, fantastic job on Auslug 2012. I'm guessing it's going to be an Auslug 2013. Where's your planning at for that?
Where our planning is for that, one of the big questions that we've actually asked on this year's evaluation form is where you would like to go to next. Obviously, we need to keep it in the big cities. So at the moment, we're trying to work out where are we going. Are we going to go to Brisbane, Sydney, or even stay in Melbourne for next year? But yes, absolutely, there will be an Auslug 2013. And dare I say, it shall be about the same time frame.
Lisa had asked if you could do it near Dallas, Fort Worth, so it would be somewhat easier for us to get there.
see, there's another benefit. If it would help Lisa make a decision out, then what we should do is have it in Brisbane, because then it's just the single flight from Dallas-Fort Worth to Brisbane and you're here.
Well, that might have been what she was indicating. I just thought she meant, can you move the lug to Brisbane? But maybe she meant Dallas for one hop airplane. But yes, again, I want to echo Stuart's kudos, you know, to the entire team.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of people to do an event like this, and congratulations to absolutely every single one of them.
Yeah, look, and we have to absolutely have to mention Adrian Randall and Barry Sanders, Karen Hooper, Steve Hooper, Michael Little, John Stockbridge, Terry Boyd, Tony McPhail, Scott Beatty. These guys, the members of my committee, I say that with the deepest grace. Without those guys on the committee helping out at every step along the way, everyone's got their own job to perform. You know, I know the other guys around the world have got their group of people that they rely on every year. That's the team that I put together last year, and they're just an amazing bunch of people. And if you've been to Auslug, you know that they know how to put on an amazing conference.
Absolutely, and I fully intend to be there next year. Even if I have to sell my kids or something. I don't know what I'll have to do to get there, but I'm determined to.
You only need one.
Determined to experience Auslug for real next year. So that brings us to the end of our topics for this week. As ever, we're going to finish with a tip. So Darren, start us off.
Well, first off, one in six smartphones in the UK has... what's the word I'm looking for? Feces. So just be wary when you go into the stall and you're playing Angry Birds. Just remember when you put that up to your cheek, what is moving from your phone to your cheek. But the real tip is, I found this out completely by accident, and I might have said it the other day on the iNotes call when Jason DeMont was on.
Yeah.
But you can now right double click in iNotes email messages, at least in 853 and higher, And I know some people, Stuart, hate right double click, but I love it. I live and die by the right double click. So it being
here
is very nice.
I think that shows your vintage, doesn't it, in terms of Lotus Notes use, whether double right click is you know just second nature to you or not.
I set it by policy, so every computer I go to when I'm fixing it already has it working.
Well, it's simple, isn't it? If your hands are on the keyboard, you hit the escape key. If your hands are on the mouse, you hit the right double click. I can't see where the issue is with that. I love it.
That's textured workspace, baby.
That's it.
And that's an interesting conversation for another podcast, is in terms of whether some of these non-standard shortcuts are powerful, you know, because they've always been there and they work, or versus, you know, it's a problem because they're non-standard. But anyway, we'll talk about that another time. Matt, what's your tip?
My tip is, for those of you who have jumped on the App Store or on the Android market and haven't been able to get the same time clients for those devices connected to your same time infrastructure, go and have a look at a product called Quip, Quip IM. So it's Quip IM, grab the free version. Great little app, lets you connect to a classic same time server. We've been able to test it all the way back to 7. You can connect multiple communities, and it doesn't matter whether you've got an iShiny in small format or large format, or a little Android device or a big Android device, you can use Quip IM to connect to virtually any same time classic server.
You still need same time licensing, though, to do it.
Oh, yes, absolutely you do. Of course you do.
But it's still really useful, because I know the limitations on the IBM client are quite stringent. So great to have some other alternatives out there. And just to complete a triumvirate of IBM tips, I'm not sure we've ever had that on Twill, a complete set of IBM-related tips. I have one, which is that IBM has just released a technology preview for something called IBM Same Time Video Chat Plugin for IBM Connections. Bit of a mouthful, but what it does is it allows you to have a widget in the side of your Connections community that basically launches a video chat for people within that community. Now, the specifics are a little bit vague right now, and I haven't managed to get it going in the environment I'm working in because it needs a hotfix applied to same time to make it work. We're getting that applied today. I'll come back with some feedback on what it gives you. But it's basically a preview of what I'm looking to do over the next 12 to 18 months in terms of integration between same time and connections. I can't say any more than that right now, but it's out there. It's available on DeveloperWorks. Do check it out, because if you have both same time and connections in your environment, it could be really fantastic. The other tip is, Matt's already mentioned it, ISW QDOS badges. There's a new release of that if you are licensed for QDOS, or even if you're just interested in evaluation, 1.3, which brings in a whole load of new features, multilingual support, also community ranking, so you can see who's been most active within the community you're in, which is fantastic. There's a whole load of great new features. Check out qdosbadges.com, and if you're interested in more information, do get in touch with me. I can help out with that in the UK as well.
Stu, while we're talking about secret squirrel stuff, Ed actually allowed me to lifted the covers off and allowed me to run around Auslug and demo the brand new Android tablet version of Traveler Client. Watch out on my blog for the next couple of days. He's lifted the covers even more and he's let me blog about it. So keep an eye out for that, guys. Screenshots and everything coming soon.
Fantastic. Thanks to Ed for allowing you to do that. That sounds great. And we'll just quickly go around the table and ask, how do people find you online? Darren, kick us off.
blog.darrenduke.net for all things Tegno related, and on Twitter, Darren Duke, all one word, for my 140 character rants. And today I'm lamenting a 32k limit.
And Matt, how do people find you?
Easiest way to get hold of me is mattnewman.com, M-A-T with one T, N-E-W-M-A-N.com, or about.me/mattnewman. Matt Newman on everything else, /in/MattNewman on LinkedIn, /MattNewman on Facebook.
Fantastic. Considering you have a relatively common name, it's amazing you've got all of those IDs. I guess it's the one T that does it for you. So awesome. Thanks for joining us today, Matt. And again, kudos for a fantastic job on Auslug. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks very much for having me on, guys. Really enjoyed it.
Always a pleasure. And you're sounding great today. So thanks for sorting out headsets and all that kind of stuff. It sounded good. And I am Stuart McIntyre. You can find me on the blog at blog.collaborationmatters.com or on Twitter at Stuart McIntyre. Until next week, this was This Week in Lotus. Bye.
All opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the participants only and do not necessarily represent those of their employer.